Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, and of course, I always thank you for sharing the podcast because that's how we're getting out there. It really is amazing. We're just praising God for the growth and the reach, and it's all because of you and the guests that we have on. So I want to waste no time in bringing in today's guest back to Ireland for this one. Pastor Gary McKibben, he's with Victory Church Belfast, and the website, if you want to check it out, victorychurchbelfast.com, and you can scroll around there, get info on Gary's ministry, and he's been on several times with us. Love catching up with this brother. Gary, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it's good to be back. Always a pleasure.
Good to see you. And I know you're traveling recently, so let's start right there. You spoke, I think, did you say Vegas or was it California? Tell us about what you've been doing recently.
Yeah, I was over at, I was initially at in Oklahoma Norman at the Prophecy Watchers Conference, just catching up with some people, doing a few interviews, and then I was speaking at Calvary Chapel Harvest Life, Pastor Kurt Reed's church in Las Vegas, and doing some prophetic updates there. So a lot of travel. And then in 2 weeks' time, I'll be in Reykjavik in Iceland speaking, and then Denmark will be coming up after that, and then possibly Italy. So it's wow. A lot of travel, a lot of air miles.
Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, you're doing a lot more speaking, I think, than you used to. That's got to be kind of taxing. But I wanted to ask you, what is the main thing you're getting from when you go around and speak, or what is the main topic that people are wanting to hear about?
Well, with me, and like whenever I'm speaking, one of the things that keeps coming up is the continuation of the development of the beast system. And I would tend to speak with that in mind, from both a biblical perspective and a historical perspective, to bring in the history behind it. That was what my degree was in history. And so it's kind of just sort of all sort of sculpts together. So when I was speaking in Vegas, we were talking about the movement from the tire system in Isaiah 23, in terms of the economic system that seems to precede the Babylonian system and the beast, the arrival of the beast system. So we were speaking about that and talking about it from a historical perspective and how it sort of relates with current events right now in terms of central bank digital currencies, digital identification, certainly here in the UK, and how all of that ties together, because wow. History rhymes. And when we talk about the Moedim, or the appointed seasons or times, it is cyclical. And you know, when you can start to look at history, like as prophecy, as pattern, I think things start to make sense an awful lot more.
That's amazing. The history of the beast system. I'm going, wow. So you have to know more than just Revelation. You have to know a little bit about world history, don't you, to keep up with that?
Yeah,
and understand everything.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, certainly when we were talking about digital identification, there's a history behind that. And if you understand the history that is leading up to this point that we're currently at in the United Kingdom, and where the future is coming with us, you know, in terms of the mark of the beast and things like that, we can start to chart the course, and we start to know a little bit, I guess, more succinctly where we are prophetically, but also we can foresee, because prophecy is pattern, you know?
Okay, so before we get into one of the topics we wanted to jump into today, I wanted to mention your book. I believe this is the most recent book, Guardians at the Gate.
Yes.
Is that the most recent book that you've got? Now, remind me, I know you can get that on your church website, Victory Belfast, victorychurchbelfast.com. Is it also on Amazon or no?
It's also on Amazon, and you're actually probably better if you're in the States or anywhere else. You're probably better getting in on Amazon in terms of delivery. And it's a spiritual warfare book in terms of being at this stage in end times. So it is succinctly spiritual warfare, and how to stand as the church in this prophetic season, the end of the church age.
Okay, so on your recent trip, on during your travels, you stopped, you mentioned Norman, Oklahoma, major conference going on there, and I know you have a lot of brothers. We have a lot of brothers in arms that were there. Most of them were speaking there. One was Brandon Holthouse, which we've talked with quite a bit, both of you and I have. And you stopped there. You did a really interesting interview, and it's called Digital ID and Global Control. And friends, I just want to direct you to Brandon's Rumble channel. That's where I saw it. I'm sure it's on other outlets as well. But Brandon Holthouse Ministries on Rumble, and you look for Pastor Gary McKibben. So I want to talk a little bit about that, or actually just hear you share. I know you're get really good at bullet pointing the information now when there are time constraints, Gary. So just walk, some of our viewers and listeners might be newer to the faith and understanding some of this, what's going on, and they didn't start paying attention until COVID-19. And then they're going, wait a minute, people want to control us. So talk to us about this. Where do you want to start?
Well, actually, you're probably best starting with history on this. So, in terms of the digital ID, we can, and I've done a lot of updates about this, talking about the current players such as Larry Ellison, Tony Blair, Sam Altman, and all of the technocratic players involved. However, what is behind the scenes is a historical element in terms of the Bank of International Settlements. Now, the Bank of International Settlements were developed in January 1930, and they were specifically put together as an institution to steward over reparations between from Germany to pay over the effects of World War I. They didn't. In fact, what we find is the makeup of the Bank of International Settlements included top Nazi members like Hilmar Schacht or Emil Poole, and members of the Central Bank of England, Montague Norman. And all of these individuals got together and they formed this Bank of International Settlements. Now, this is a bank that is outside of regular control. It is actually technically above and outside of the law and regulation. And this is the bank behind the, I guess, motive for digital identification. Because if you go into their writings and some of the stuff that has been disclosed, they want, according to, so they're based in Basel, and you have this Basel Endgame or Basel III that is it's basically the directive given to all central banks. And they believe in complete identification through digital means, and they believe in a thing called tokenization. So what we see with digital ID is the first step towards tokenization. What tokenization is that everybody, you, me, and everybody we know, and everything that we know would be, according to the Bank of International Settlements, on a world ledger. So think like a balance sheet, and everybody and everything is on that balance sheet. Now, this is not some conspiracy theory. This is there. You can research this yourself. The BIS has been behind this. And then you get private entities such as BlackRock, Larry Fink. They believe in tokenization. They believe in a world ledger. And the first step towards a world ledger is digital identification. And in terms of us, we would be classed in their own writings as soul bound tokens. Now that means that on that balance sheet, if I am a good citizen, then my asset value goes up. If I am a bad citizen, according to government dictate, as in speaking out against government or speaking out against policies or anything like that, then I would go down. Think like Chinese social credit system. All of this is a central form of control. So when we look at Keir Starmer did not come up with the digital ID on his own. In fact, Keir Starmer is largely backed by the TBI, the Tony Blair Institute. And Tony Blair is also largely backed by his biggest patron, Larry Ellison, who gave $250 million to the TBI, the Tony Blair Institute, in 2021. So all of this is interconnected, but at behind the scenes is this amazingly unheard of bank by most people. They're unaware of it, but it is the most powerful banking structure in the world. It has 63 central banks that basically report to it and get their dictate from that. And this is the new avenue of where the world is going. And digital identification is the first step towards tokenization. Tokenization is, to me, it is the unveiling and unfolding of Revelation 13. When we get to the point of full tokenization, where you and I are an asset on a world ledger, like we're owned by someone or something, it makes me think of the World Economic Forum 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. That's where we're at, and it's all a form of control. It's manifesting in economic control, physical control, but really behind it's all spiritual.
So, what do some of the names that you mentioned, powerful men, what do they get out of this? I mean, you is there's got to be more than control. Is it money and control, power? I know there's the spiritual dimension behind all this. What do they get out of it? Because you've got to, I mean, America is in the way, definitely. Israel and America probably, but so tell us more about that.
Well, if you look at the likes of Oracle, or even so, Oracle is the company that certainly Larry Ellison is known for. It's a company that is involved in surveillance of humanity. I think there was a court case where 5 billion individuals on Earth were being surveilled by Oracle. Now, then you've got likes of Peter Thiel, and Palantir does the same sort of thing. The whole thing behind this is power and control. And also, it comes down to a balance sheet, because you saw, if you go back, I think it's just over a month and a half ago, Larry Ellison in one day became the richest man in the world. He overtook Elon Musk. Now, it later came, and it rebalanced out. He's now number two, but he became the richest man because there was so much investment and so much hype around Oracle. Now, if you go into the history of Oracle, when he founded that was initially a CIA project that he was involved in the early 1970s. 7 years pass, about 1977, he decides to start his own private company, and he calls it the same name as the project. And I'm not saying that that's a coincidence, but at the same time, it's something to take note of. In terms of what they get out of it, it's power, control, and it's finance. It's continued wealth. And when you look at the 2030 agenda that you will own nothing and be happy, the counter to that is someone is going to own everything and be much happier. And that's their motive. It's the avarice and the greed that is represented spiritually in Isaiah 23 by the development of the tire system. Tire, yes, was a physical place in Lebanon, but it represents a financial system of the end times, where the motive behind it is seen in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, when we talk about the king of Tyre, the individual who is also sort of connected in those scriptures to Satan himself. It is that continual motive for greed and control.
So during your interview with Pastor Brandon, you were talking about, you made some connections to Nazi Germany, and I don't remember what context that was. Can you go, because that was really eye-opening to me. Can you go just run by that really quick?
Well, when the Bank of, like I said, when the Bank of International Settlements was founded, it was initially founded to steward over reparations from World War I. However, they didn't do that. And instead, they became the financiers of World War II. So whenever Czechoslovakia was invaded by Hitler, pre the invasion, Czechoslovakia decided to, right, we need to protect our wealth. We'll put all our gold in this BIS, in the Bank of International Settlements. They did so. Hitler invades, and he turns around to the BIS and he says, I want that gold. And they go, here you go. And they give them the gold. They give the Nazi regime the gold to continually finance World War II. In fact, Norway stood, and actually there was a delegation of Nor in Norway, and they asked for the disbanding of this bank. They wanted it gone because they said World War II would not have happened without the influence of this bank. And it was people like Montague Norman from Great Britain who stepped in and says, no, we need this bank. We need a bank that is can so even with this bank, this even though it's in Switzerland, the Swiss government cannot go on the property. They cannot go on. So if there's anything that happens there, they cannot go on unless they're invited on. Anybody who travels to that bank is given the BIS diplomatic passport. That means that they are a diplomatic ambassador above the law, without reproach. They don't have to disclose all of their dealings. They don't have to disclose where their money is invested in all of this. It is literally like a it's kind of like a Bond, a James Bond story or do you know what I mean? And you've got this group here, and it's
Yeah.
all centered on control, you know?
Wow, it sounds very Hollywood-like. I'm not quite sci-fi, but kind of scary if you're not a Christian. I could talk more about this, Gary, but I just want to say, how would you encourage believers as more of this is taking place and we're seeing this push for control globally. We are not to be fearful about this. Just
No,
talk to us a little bit about that.
that's the point, right? So what we're seeing is if you imagine just one big hand and its clasping around the globe, that's what we see in the development of the beast system, but we're not part of that hand. Instead, we're in the hand of God. And Psalm 37 says that he directs the steps of a good man. Even though he may fall, he will never be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him in his hand. So we're in the hand of the Almighty. We're free from that. Yes, we will experience persecution and not the great tribulation, but we will experience persecution and tightening of control. But at the same time, we operate in freedom. And this is the Noah moment, right? Noah was living in a time of lawlessness. And as he was living in a time of lawlessness and the watcher element on the earth and the Nephilim, as he was living in that time, and there was all of this unfolding of wickedness, he was still the voice crying out and preaching righteousness until the rains came. And that's where we have to stand. We have to be strong in our declaration of the word of God. We have to hold fast to the word of God. In fact, Hebrews 12:26 tells you that in the end times, there will be great shaking. And that's what we're seeing. But we are to hold on to that which is permanent, and that which is permanent is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. The only unshakable rock. I mean, the hope in Christ is an anchor to our souls. So, Gary, let's talk about another form of control, and that this would be more satanic. We are several days away from Halloween, and this has been, it shouldn't be, but this has been somewhat of a controversial topic among Christians and in the church, and some celebrate it. And now there are different forms of celebration, but I think scripturally, doesn't it say, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, instead expose them? And there are other admonitions in scripture, the Old Testament, about, a divination and witchcraft and other things. The occult is very, what's the word? Very attractive. It can make itself attractive. And I think Satan does a good job of that, especially with the commercialization of Halloween. Let's walk into this here because you've got some history over there in Ireland that I think a lot of people do not realize. So go ahead.
Well, this is the problem nowadays is that most people see Halloween as a commercial institution, a commercial event that has no real backbone or background to it, which is nonsense. And the Christian, like the scripture says in Hosea that my people perish for lack of knowledge. So the knowledge behind this is that this is a watcher-led a B'nai Elohim led festival, right? So it comes from Samhain. Samhain is basically it's the term in Celtic for summer's end, and it dictates the timing. And when you look at this, it has its roots in Gnosticism. It has its roots in the likes of Simon Magus. So you remember Simon Magus from Acts 8, the magician who, the sorcerer who tries to purchase the Holy Spirit from the apostles. And then the early church fathers write about this individual that he is the father of Gnosticism. He teaches a false gospel, a false teaching. Well, in Irish history, Simon Magus was intrinsically involved in not the establishment of Samhain, because it goes back probably 3,000 plus years in Irish history, but around the birth of the church, around 2,000 years ago, there's a hill over here called the Hill of Clachta, or the Hill of Ward in English. And the story goes that there was this princess, well, she was actually the daughter of a druid called Clachta. And Simon Magus assaults her. And basically, there's all of this sort of I don't want to get any censorship here. So there's all of this stuff that comes out from this. But then there's this worship on Clachta that happens with the burning of a bonfire. Now, the word bonfire comes from the word bonfire because you would have had sacrifices within the fire, and it was all about the bones. So on Samhain, on Halloween, what would happen? This false fire would be set, right? Everybody would go around and extinguish the fire in their own homes, and then there would be a pilgrimage to Clachta. They would light the fire off this central fire, this profane fire that Leviticus 10 talks about, this profane fire that was actually more in line with Baal worship, because Samhain is part of the Celtic cycle, and it is directly related to Beltane, the fire of Baal. The fire of Baal, which is in May. So on the Celtic cycle, once we get to the end of the year, Samhain, then they would have this fire again associated with Baal, and everybody would go and light their fire off this, go back to their own house and light their fire off this. It's kind of saying, I'm not taking the fire of God. I am not worshipping. Instead, I am going to this profane fire. Think 1 Kings 18. Think the battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Now, when you look at this, the actual central focus around Halloween is all about a group in Ireland called the Tuatha De Dan. Now, the Tuatha De Dan are the God tribe. Okay, so these are special beings that came to Ireland who taught man how to do metallurgy, taught man how to do build weapons, taught man how to war, taught women how to do magic and all of this type of thing, right? The same that we see in the apocryphal book of the first Enoch in terms of the watchers teaching man how to do all of this stuff, right? Azazel, Shemeza, all of this stuff, right? This is what the Tuatha De Dan are. They are watchers. Now, this is where it gets really, and I know my time is short, so I'll just go through this very quickly. Whenever you get even the likes of fairies and different things that you hear in myth and fairy tales, it all comes from the Tuatha De Dan. So in the story, the Tuatha De Dan disappear into portals, right? And this is where we get Samhain from. The veil becomes lesser at Samhain, at Halloween, and they come out. And they would come out, and this is where you get different world traditions, such as the Wild Hunt, where they would go around and you would see all of these figures from the other world, Tir na n-Og in Irish, and they would go out and they would grab people back. Now, this shows you that these entities are principalities and powers. They are not some fun-loving entities. It is not just a case of dressing up. In fact, the purpose of dressing up, of guising, that's which where the word in which disguise comes from, of guising was to make sure that you weren't pulled back in to Tir na n-Og or the other world, or what we would see as into hell. So all of this, it's not some sort of innocent thing. In fact, trick-or-treating, now, I'll say this very quickly. Trick or treating in Ireland was never trick or treating. We would go to the door and we would ask for money on Halloween, right? So growing up, it was kind of a racketeering scam. As a child, you would go and you would just come back and you would have a load of money on Halloween. It was through American influence that it became trick or treating. But where it really comes from is a Fomorian practice. So Fomorians were another race in Ireland. They were the giants, or what we would see as the Nephilim. And what would happen is every All Hallows Eve or Samhain, they would come to the people and they would demand a tax from the people. And they would demand a tax, and if you didn't pay the tax, they would take your children. So it's not an innocent type of practice. And when people start to say, well, we just do a harvest ceremony or we do a trunk or treat and stuff, listen, That's what the medieval church tried to do. They tried to incorporate the pagan tradition, the satanic tradition of Samhain, into their religion in about 800 AD. They tried to incorporate it. That's where we got All Saints Day on the 1st of November. But really, you can't do that. All it does is mix paganism inside with the religion, right? So what is All Saints Day? All Saints Day, they believed that you bake these things called soul cakes, and that you would eat a soul cake and it would free your loved one from purgatory. Well, that's not biblical.
Jeez.
That's the mesh of paganism with Christianity.
There's so much, and you cannot, it's impossible to do that, but yet we try, I think, naively anyway, to make something that's evil innocent, and you can't do that. So how would you respond? I know we have 2 minutes left now, Gary, and I think hindsight, we could have done a whole episode on this. But a lot of people say, well, yeah, but we're not celebrating Satan, and we're just going out, and my kids are just doing it for the candy. But we're still participating as Christians. How do you encourage people in this area?
You may say that you're not celebrating, but what Satan wants is your focus. Part of worship is focus, okay? So if your focus is on incorporating the world, you have to look at what 1 John says. 1 John says that the love of the Father, so if you love the world, the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So we need to be set aside and holy. Now, it's not being a killjoy. You have got 364 days of the year. If you want to dress up, do it, but don't participate in a day that is singled out for the purpose of the worship of the fallen. And it is honestly singled out. If we take the Irish entities, the Irish gods, one of the biggest entities, and I'll finish very quickly with this, is Lugh or Lugh in Irish, right? And he is known as this entity who comes on. He is known as the god of fortresses. He is known as the entity of light, and he is worshipped at Halloween, right? He is worshipped. He lights up, his light lights up the hill of Tara, the hill of kings. And even Julius Caesar pointed out that this individual is not that different from Lucifer of Christianity or of Apollo. And in fact, we would relate him to that individual. So if you think that you're doing this innocently, I would suggest that, look, we're called to be a set apart people, a sanctified people. So try not to mesh in with that. We don't want to be a church of Pergamum. We want to be a church of Philadelphia.
Light and darkness do not mix. Brother Gary, thank you so much. And next time we'll probably have to work out two separate episodes of Worldview Matters with you. But victorychurchbelfast.com, anything coming up? We've got just like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'll be in Iceland in a few weeks and a load of other
Awesome.
things from there.
Awesome. So you can, they also have a Facebook page, friends. It might be easier to contact Gary through Victory Church Belfast on Facebook. God bless you, brother. Thanks for your time.
God bless.
Oh, friends, I lost track of time on that one. It went by way too fast. But God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.